Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to season 5 of the Iron Brew podcast. Matt Ellis, Matt Blanchard, and a really warm welcome to the newest member of the podcast panel, Toby Skelton.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you very much for having me on this season. I really do appreciate it. It's nice to be asked. And I can't wait to get started.
Fantastic. And straight at the top of the show, we a little bit of sad news, I suppose. Our obviously regular host, Brad Mell, has unfortunately decided to take a step back from presenting this podcast for the time being, due to work commitments and a few other things. So, you know, it's unfortunate. Brad will be back. He's reliably informed me he will be back to continue to host the conversation specials that we do, and hopefully there'll be some of those coming soon. But for now, you've got yours truly to host the podcast. So we'll see how that goes, for good or for ill. But now we've got that kind of housekeeping out of the way. As I said, this is season 5 of the Iron Brew podcast. We've been going for probably longer than any of us thought we would be doing. And you know, we are absolutely still here, and we will be recording regularly again this season. And hopefully it will be a good season. You know, it's we're very much in uncharted territory, aren't we? This is new for all of us, for everybody going to Tamworth on Saturday. The ground, it's going to be a little bit of a culture shock, really. I think it probably resembles more of a shed than a football stadium, compared to kind of what we're used to in, obviously being in the Championship not that long ago, really. So we will see how we get on. And I think it's worth saying that it's been an interesting pre-season, hasn't it? In kind of true Scunthorpe United fashion, there's been a whole mix of emotions in there. There's been some really, really promising stuff, some fantastic signings, and really kind of a nice shape coming to the squad, I've got to say. Some kind of jitters in some of the first preseason games, a little bit of anxiety around there. And obviously, we've still kind of got this stadium issue kind of looming large in the background, which is something that we will talk about a little bit in this podcast today, and we cannot ignore it. So it's kind of in the background, isn't it? But I think it's by and large been, one, an interesting preseason, but two, I think a generally positive preseason. And I think that given the kind of sheer amount of signings, but also the real quality of those signings that have kind of come into the club over the summer, and also some really, really good results in preseason against, you know, proper league and non-league opposition alike. So let's get straight into it then, and let's talk about Jimmy Dean, I think, because he's such a, obviously being the manager, but he's such a focal kind of figure to this season, really, because obviously he was kind of the chairman, stuck behind him, Hilton stuck behind him, didn't he, last season, after bringing all the players in and having some really kind of disappointing results that unfortunately saw us relegated again down to the National League North. And obviously the chairman stuck with him, and we'll see if that's the right decision. And he's obviously backed him really heavily with some serious money and some kind of serious investment to bring in a really, really good squad of players. So let's talk about Jimmy Dean. And you know, my question is to you both.
I think on what we saw last season, you know, I think he did split the fans down the middle. I think there were still quite a few that were backing him, that were kind of saying he deserves the summer to get his own players in and see what he does, and obviously that's what's happened. So, you know, I'm open to it. I think he knows the level. I think that's a positive. I think, you know, the way that he's got them playing in pre-season, from what I've seen, we look good, we look organised. Defensively, we look quite good. He's obviously got some players in there now that appear to want to play for the club, and they seem committed. So I think we've got to give him the benefit of the doubt. Obviously, everyone was disappointed with the way last season finished. And I think the most disappointing thing for me was the way we really threw the towel in towards the end of the season, and to finish that far adrift. It just really kind of, you wouldn't have expected it, would you? When he first came in, there was quite a lot of optimism. We did have a couple of decent results. And then, it was just a case of, just after that Notts County game, seemed to throw the towel in, and it just just didn't happen for us. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's a new season. He's got his own players in there now. I think obviously a lot of players came in January. Whether he picked all those players or not remains to be seen. And, you know, even if he did pick those players, I think there is a good argument that there was probably not that many quality players left to pick from at the end of the day, because we were kind of getting into the back end of January and obviously we had to do the business quite late. So potentially there weren't that many good players available and we were left with what we got in, which ultimately wasn't good enough. So I think, you know, everyone's got to get behind him. I think I've seen some comments in pre-season after the Winterton game saying he should go and things like that. You know, at the end of the day, it's only pre-season, and as disappointing that result is, you know, you look at it and think, bloody hell, we normally put 6 or 7 past these. This is how far we've fallen. You know, he has turned it round since then and they're looking quite sharp. So I think we've got to give him the benefit of the doubt. And as I say, he knows the level, got a decent enough record at the level. And now he's been backed quite heavily with the players he's been allowed to bring in. So, yeah, hopefully it all kind of falls into place.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that we gave him a lot of time at the end of last season, despite the results being extremely subpar. I mean, the last 5 games, he lost all of the last 5 consecutively. And obviously after the Brig and the Winterton games, he came under a lot of intense scrutiny, deservedly so. But obviously since beating Burton, since drawing against the likes of Hull, Doncaster, for example, you know, these are obviously established EFL teams. He's definitely proven that he can put in performances for the club. So I think he knows the pressure that he's under, because he knows that this is a massive club at this level. The squad that he's got at his disposal is incredible. It's probably our best squad for years, even better than our sort of League 2 squad, I reckon. Some of the players that we've got, you know, some of the players have got are definitely EFL level players, like Roberts, for example. You know, he can play a lot higher than this. Ogle could probably play a lot higher than this as well. So he knows the task at hand. And I think, yeah, he's obviously got experience here with Peterborough Sports. You know, he gave them, I think he was mid-table with them, wasn't he, last season before he came to us. So he's got previous history in the level. He knows what to expect. So I think he knows that we need to start off really well. There's no room for error. Because the knives will be out quickly if there's any sort of bad results in the opening first few games. But yeah, the fans definitely warmed to him recently after the games, I say against Hull especially, and Gainsborough. You know, the fans really sort of thought, okay, he's turned good here, basically. There's more optimism around the club now. So I think if he starts in a good vein of form, then yeah, he deserves, obviously, he does deserve the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I think that really that is what we're looking at, isn't it? I think that kind of importance of hitting the ground running and kind of making use of these signings and really kind of sort of putting a marker down in the first few games is something that, look, every Iron fan and Mr. Hilton will be looking for. And you know, that kind of confidence in Jimmy Dean from the chairman he's kind of placed all his bets on the ability of Jimmy to get the results in. And I think that kind of that was probably the plan, really, to move really hard and really fast in the summer for transfers, and we've done that and get the wins in early, get the momentum building so we can get people through the door, through the turnstile at Glanford Park and get those crowds up. And as we saw kind of last year, Hilton will have seen the home game against Barnet and the kind of 5,000 plus fans in the stadium and thinking and wanting to be able to replicate that. And obviously we're at a lower level. However, people will turn up if we're playing good attacking football and we are winning a lot of games. And I think that they've bet everything on that this season, that the start is going to be fast and it's going to be good. And all signs point towards that being the case. And we hope so. Obviously we won't know until it really starts to kick off and we're kind of like maybe 5-10 games into to really understand kind of how we're going to perform in a league that's very much an unknown quantity to us. And you know, and let's look kind of what we're putting our hopes on in terms of the new signings. Really, we've brought in a lot of new players. As we keep saying, some really, really good quality in there. You know, experienced keeper in the form of Russ Fitzsimmons, a whole host of defenders. You know, you've got Kelly, Evans, Gagoon. Also, you know, kind of we've kept Boyce there for the experience. And also, Ogle is a fantastic player at this level. And his hair, of course, we can't forget about his hair, which I'm sure we'll see in abundance on Saturday against Tamworth. I've not bought one, but I'm sure quite a few people have. So that'll be interesting to see. And again, through the midfield, we've brought in more quality. You know, very, very accomplished kind of passing midfield, including at this level. And again, we spoke about Roberts, who, of course, is sponsored by the Iron Brew forum members. So thanks to everybody there for chipping into that. So hopefully they'll have a very productive season and you'll hear the Iron Brew name ring around Goff Park a few times. So that should be interesting. Good to keep Cameron Wilson. I know we spoke about Wilson a little bit, Matt, at the end of last season. We weren't quite sure. I did say that I'd like to keep him and you know, kind of we weren't sure about him a little bit. Maybe things in terms of his attitude towards the end of the season. However, he's had a really good preseason. I think he will do really, really well at this level. So I'm kind of glad he's stayed. And then, you know, look at the midfield. There's loads of other quality in there. Obviously, Butterfield should be absolutely fine at this level. And, you know, we could go on. And again, Whitehall, another really, really big signing. So it'll be interesting to see how he does alongside Elliot. If indeed Jimmy decides to play, you know, 4-4-2, we probably not, but we'll find out anyway. So, but yeah, you know, kind of for you guys, you know, what's the pick of the bunch?
Well, just on that Wilson comment, I think I got that right, actually, because you were claiming he'd go elsewhere and I said he'd stay because there'd no one being for him. And that's obviously what's happened. But having said that, you know, he's been in good form. He's scored quite a few goals, hasn't he, in pre-season. He's been looking sharp. I think at this level, in patches last season, he proved that he could be a good player at the National League. He obviously got that England C call up, playing quite well for a time, obviously tailed off towards the end with the rest of them. But I do think at this level, he's going to be a really good player to have, you know, in and around the squad. So not too disappointed, you know, that he didn't get the move. I think that will benefit us over the course of the season. But I think, you know, just on the whole, looking at the players that came in, comparing them to what came in January, there does seem to be, you know, that they're at a different level. And you can see that, you know, that they've played quite a lot of games at either level above or, you know, the top end of the National League last year, or even, you know, Roberts coming down from Scotland. So you can see that, you know, they're all decent players. I mean, there's a couple I quite like the look of. I quite like the look of Law. I think he's going to be quite good. I was impressed with him the whole game. I think, you know, he looks quite sharp. You know, there's no complaints with any of them, really. You know, they all look decent signings. And I think that's one thing you've got to say, really, that it appears that the club have got the signings right. And I think we mentioned at the back end of last season, it was something they had to do. And I know we've been saying this for the last 3 or 4 years, that we've got to get the signings right and we've got to get the right players in the building. But I think, looking at the players they've brought in on paper, they're all capable of playing at the level or higher. As Toby said, you know, that there's quite a few that are in there that that could easily be playing at a higher level. And now, you know, it's just whether they're up for it, really. And, you know, the quality is definitely there. It's just whether they're going to be able to cope with the National League North. Obviously, it might be a bit of a different test for some of them, going to some of these grounds and playing some of these teams and on some of the pitches, whether it be the 4G or just really poor quality pitches. So it is going to be a bit of a test. It's going to be a shock, but I think we've probably got the quality to have a good go. And I think anything less would be really disappointing given sort of the investment in the squad this summer.
I think just to cut in a little bit there, I think it's kind of worth underlining that really, how consistently shit Scunthorpe United have been in the sort of past 5 or 6 seasons in recruitment. You know, we say it every season, you know, you need to get that kind of spine of the team in, and it's something we've never really done. We've always have kind of question marks over the goalkeeping position. But I think like everything there that we've been concerned about before has been addressed this summer. So I think that, you know, forget the kind of off the field turmoil and things like that for the minute, but the actual recruitment is something we've done really, really, really well. And it's something we've not been able to do for a long, long time. For whatever reason, we've never seemed to have got it right. But evidence would suggest this summer that something's changed and we've done such a good job of bringing these kind of players in that we want, that we think are going to get us straight back up. So credit to Jimmy and credit to Dave Hilton there for getting that sorted. I think just worth underlining that. But, you know, let's go back to the panel, Toby. What do you think to the new guys?
Well, I think it's very refreshing to see all these players because previously we'd sign players late in the window. We did our business really early this time. We brought in genuine quality, as you both have said. And I think previously in transfer windows, we just signed players for the sake of it. You know, we'd bring in players who, on paper, they weren't good enough. You know, we saw it last season. But this time, I think we brought in players who genuinely will add quality to the team rather than just making the numbers up. Because every transfer window in the past sort of few years, we've said it's massive. And every time we've failed catastrophically. But this time, you know, I'm actually optimistic that we've made the right calls, and I'm really, really upbeat about it. You know, just seeing names having the squad, you know, Clunan, you know, Beeston, Roberts, Wilson on his day. Just in midfield, you know, we've got obviously Whitehall, Elliot, for example, as well. You know, these are top quality strikers, top quality players overall. And yeah, I've not really gone into a season for a long time thinking it's optimistic, because usually we just expect, a slow start, the players not to be good enough. But this time, there's a genuine sense of optimism that we've got it right. And that's something that is just so rare at Scunthorpe United. So absolutely credit to Jimmy and David for that.
Yeah, I think one actually that I'm really pleased stayed is Butterfield. And I know he still might go if something comes up. You know, he might still move on. But I do think he was a good player last season. He was probably our best player when he was playing consistently. And he should be able to be, you know, one of the better players at this level as well. There's nothing to suggest he won't be. You know, he's got that quality. He obviously scored a really good goal at the weekend, which just kind of underlined that. And I was pleased to see him stay, because I'd kind of resigned myself to kind of him moving on. And I think everyone had. I think that was, you know, that's what the club was saying, that he wanted to explore other offers and things like that, which was fine. You know, you can understand that, because he can definitely still play at a higher level. But it's just going to be interesting if he does fit into that and where he fits in, whether it is a, you know, starting 11. But, you know, if not, it's a good experienced player on the bench. And definitely, as we go through the season, you know, we are going to pick up injuries. We are going to, you know, on some of these pitches, things like that. I think he's a great player to have in and around the club. So, yeah, that was one. I'm really pleased he stayed, and hopefully he can get some game time, because I still think, you know, on his day, he's probably one of our better players.
Yeah, I kind of thought as well. The immediate thought is when you get relegated that, you know, you look at the team sheet and it's going to be like, you know, Butterfield, surely he's going to leave. And thankfully he didn't really. And you'd like to think that Jimmy will he'll be kind of front and centre of his plans, really. And obviously that remains to be seen. But hopefully so. As you said, he scored a goal against Burton at the weekend, and you know, League One opposition, which we won at home. So, you know, some really kind of positive signs there, and everything seems to be at the minute on the pitch moving in the right direction, which for the most part isn't something that we've seen in pre-season for a long, long time. So, you know, who could begrudge Iron fans for being pretty optimistic, and I kind of include myself amongst that number, really, and I think that I'd like to see a really good kind of statement performance at the weekend against Tamworth. So hopefully we will get a good start to the season. we do need to talk about other things that are happening at the club at the minute. We can't shy away from it. You know, we need to remain balanced, and we've kind of presented a case for why we think, you know, kind of the club has done a fantastic job in the summer for recruitment, and the pre-season has gone really, really well. But we do need to look at some of the off-pitch issues just a little bit, just to bring some balance. But it needs to be said, really, and it's still at times Scunthorpe United is a football club in turmoil, unfortunately. There is no shying away from that. So what are we concerned about at the minute most, lads, in terms of what's going on behind the scenes?
For me, it's the ground issue. Obviously, it's the elephant in the room. Thing that every sort of fan is thinking back of their mind, you know, where are we going to play next season? Are we going to be at GP? Are we going to be elsewhere? You know, it's just frustrating, because we've had all this turmoil for nigh on 5 years or so now. And I think everyone just wants some clarity. They just want official confirmation that we're going to be here. We're going to be playing, hopefully, in Scunthorpe. It's all up in the air. You know, if the results do take a turn for the worse at the start of the season, fans will again question the chairman. They will question the sort of the club, and you know, they'll want answers for that sort of thing. So the results in pre-season have sort of managed to paper over the cracks of that situation, I think, especially the Burton, the Hall games, the games, Brimington games. But if results did take a turn for the worse, yeah, questions will be asked. And again, frustrations will definitely come out. But I think we just need clarity. You know, it's gone on for a long time now. We're hearing conflicting stories. No one really knows what exactly is going on. And, you know, obviously these players that we've brought in came under the pretense they're going to play at Gatford Park, not a different ground, you know, 20 miles away, for example, or something, you know. So I think for everyone, we just need to know what's going on, and the sooner the better, really, because when these things drag on for a long time, it never particularly ends well. So I think we just want a resolution quickly.
The problem is, I mean, the most frustrating thing, I think you kind of mentioned it there, but we brought all these players in, we've done some really good business on the face of it. You know, it looks like we're going to have a squad that's capable of challenging. If not, you know, we need to target promotion. That's you know, we've got to aim for that. But the problem is, all this that's going on in the background could derail things. I mean, you look at the ground issue. I would imagine in the next month or so, we're going to have a court date with Cool Silk and the club and David Hilton. And ultimately, who knows which way that's going to go? I mean, we don't know. We've heard kind of both sides of the story in the press recently. at the end of the day, it's going to come down to a judge, and ultimately we could be homeless overnight. That's the reality of the situation at the moment. Obviously, everyone's hoping that that's not the case and that we can stay at Glanford Park. I think there's massive implications. You know, if we do have to move and play at Gainsborough or somewhere like that, you know, there's big issues with sort of finance. You're not going to get that many fans going across to Gainsborough. There's going to be people that probably want refunds on the season tickets that can't make Gainsborough, or you know, they sit down at Glenford Park, but there's not as many seats at somewhere else where we play. There's all these issues which are going to kind of rear the head if that does come to fruition. And unfortunately, you know, that's we don't know. And I think at the moment we're just in limbo until that decision is made. But as Matt said, I think you said in your piece in the week, Matt, it's just kind of a dark cloud over the club at the minute, unfortunately. And I think obviously everyone's quite excited by the new players, and there is an optimism around the place that we can have a really successful season. But for me, I'm just struggling to get excited about it all. I'm looking forward to the game on Saturday. Obviously, I think it'd be a good day out, and you know, hopefully we get a decent result. But at the moment, the season as a whole and the club as a whole, I'm not quite buying into all the excitement around it at the moment, because of all these things that are happening in the background. And I think there are some decent things happening at the club. You know, we'll probably speak about the appointment of the directors, although obviously that's not been made official yet. I think there's a board meeting towards the end of the week, and perhaps after that they'll be made official at Company's House. You know, there's some good things going on down there, but unfortunately, with this in the background, I'm just struggling to get too excited about it. And I think we've got to be cautious, because at the end of the day, things can turn on its head very quickly. And I think, yes, things might be looking good on the field, but at the moment, off the pitch, I don't think we're out of the woods yet, unfortunately.
I think, you know, by and large, it's that sort of optimism that people want to sort of cling to, and that kind of light at the end of the tunnel mentality, and that kind of bright future kind of thinking that we've been getting, and the messaging coming out of the club and things like that have certainly been along those lines, and a lot of fans have kind of bought into that, and which is absolutely fine, absolutely understandable. But I think that you know, also I think just something to note as well, I kind of noticed over the weekend was kind of Bury's first kind of home league game in brackets there, league inverted commas Eastman, against, I think it was Glossop, where they played back at Gig Lane for the first time in 4 years, in front of over 5,400 people, and I think they put four or five past Glossop there. I think, you know, people see that kind of success story in Bury, in terms of the reformation and kind of that, you know, they've been through everything really, and obviously the club's reformed, and then being able to go back to Gig Lane and then register in a league and bring players in. And I know Andy Welsh, their manager, I think, who obviously used to play on the left wing for Scunthorpe quite a few years ago now. So it's interesting to see that. And I think, you know, Iron fans will see that and kind of see sort of parallels in our club and the way we've been through kind of, you know, all the shit we've been through in the past few seasons, and like to think that, you know, that's a future we can have with, you know, sustainable leadership, kind of the security of owning the ground and things like that, which we all want. And as you said, Matt, I think that kind of thing, until that is absolutely nailed down and sorted out and the club, you know, the ground is owned by the club once more, I think that those question marks are always going to be there. And I don't think anybody should begrudge any fan at all for views, you know, certainly such a view, just communicate them that way. You are excited, however, you are still kind of cautious, and you think kind of in terms of trepidation there, just to try and kind of, you know, it still can, unfortunately, as you said, kind of turn on a sixpence and go really wrong. And none of us want to see that. Obviously, we want to see.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Kind of an amicable conclusion reached by both Peter Swan and David Hilton that ensures the future of the club. And, you know, and hopefully kind of the good feeling that we've got at the minute just before the start of the season. Obviously, it can all turn to shit on Saturday. Let's hope it doesn't. But all that goes in the right direction. But really, that kind of sticking point at the minute is the possession of the ground. So, you know, let's hope that that really, really does get sorted as soon as possible. And as you said, we're still waiting the outcome of the court case, which probably isn't too far away now. So, you know, let's hope that there's some sort of agreement or some sort of positive result in whatever fashion that might be for the club. And if we do make a good start, that can be sustained then by the news of the ground moving back into club ownership. And I think that, you know, if that can happen, we will have a really, really positive season. And I think at that point, a lot of fans will then sort of completely, or at least nearly completely, buy into kind of the Hilton regime and think, look, we now own our ground. Apparently, we're on a sustainable footing. We're winning games. We've got a good squad. People are coming every Saturday to Glanford Park to see a Scunthorpe United team win. And, you know, and I think that that's the ultimate aim of this season, really. It's not just the kind of immediate kind of return to the National League. It's also that kind of return of the ground to the club's ownership. So hopefully those two things will sort of be sorted out this season. You know, fingers crossed. And at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. You know, we're all Lion fans. We want to see the club survive. But until that kind of question mark is completely being eradicated, there will always be doubts, unfortunately. And that's just the nature of being a football fan, really.
I think you made a good point on the sustainability. And at the moment, I think the only way really that this is sustainable, I mean, Hilton came in and he said they've overspent this season to try and get promoted. The only real way it's sustainable is if they get the fans through the gates. And obviously we saw last season there was a massive upturn in attendances since David Hilton came in. I know they dropped off after that Barnet game, but they were up massively, really, generally 1,000 or so every week. So I think he's banking on those fans coming back. And obviously that kind of ties into what we said about needing a really good start to the season. Obviously, if we get a good start to the season, win a few games, people are going to start coming back. As you say, Matt, that's kind of, I don't think it matters really what league we're in. As long as we start winning and playing some good football, I think people will come through the gate. So I think that is the way it's sustainable in the short term. But obviously, if you take Glanford Park out of the equation, then obviously that we're not going to be able to get as many people through the gate. Hilton himself is then going to have to offset that and have to put more money into the club just to keep it sustainable. And at the end of the day, to pay the wage bill, because the wage bill, obviously we don't know how much these new players are on, but you look at some of the players and where they came from, and obviously some that have given up full-time jobs, thinking Clunan, you know, to come here, they're obviously been paid a decent amount, and you know, someone has got to pay that. And at the end of the day, if we do have to move to Gainsborough somewhere else, I'm not sure it's that sustainable, particularly if it goes on for a long time. And I think the problem is, and the danger is now, that if you take away any opinions and kind of if you forget whose side you're on and you just look at the fact Hilton had agreed to pay a certain amount for the stadium, 3 million or whatever we want to say it is, it's not happened for whatever reason, they've fallen out. Are they going to get back to a position where they will work on that deal for the good of the club? I think we're now it's going through the courts and things like that. I just can't see that happening. And obviously that, for me, that's the one thing that would potentially, that needs to happen really for the club to move forward. But at the moment, I just can't see it, unfortunately. So it's going to be interesting, as you say, it's going to be sort of a big month. And obviously, I think towards the end of the month, we'll probably know a little bit more. But as it stands at the moment, we've not heard anything else, but it appears we'll be starting the season at Glanford Park. And again, you know, that's another thing with the National League. The National League have been very quiet throughout the whole process. Obviously, they've been focusing on Southend and the issues at Southend, I think, more than the issues here. But if you look at the league rules, then technically you're not actually supposed to be starting the season without a lease in place. So I think they must have given us special dispensation to start the season at Glanford Park. And then I guess just wait for the outcome of the court case. But I do think a hell of a lot hinges on that. And I think although people are confident in the squad we've put together, and I'm relatively confident in the squad we've put together, I don't think I'd be rushing to the bookies to lump on us for promotion at the moment. But it's not because of the squad. It's because of all the other issues and what could happen on the back of it.
Yeah, and really, you know, we need to hit the ground running, don't we? And I think, you know, Jimmy will have been told that. That's what Iron fans want. We want a fast start to this season. You know, we want to get straight into it. We want to score goals. We want to win games. We want to do things that Scunthorpe United, we want to see things that Scunthorpe United fans have not seen in a long, long time. You know, on current showing, I think that that's where we're headed, personally. And I think that that's what we're going to see, and I hope that's what we're going to see. And as we've kind of spoke about, I just hope that kind of the off-field affairs don't work to derail the good work that's been done in the summer. And I think that that is probably the biggest worry for me personally, that we get a good start and then something happens in this kind of court case hearing that maybe doesn't go for the clubs in the club's favour, and we're kind of sort of staring at the abyss, so to speak. So let's hope that doesn't happen, and let's hope it is sorted out. But I think that kind of, you know, to kind of get a good result out of those things, if we're winning, then fans, you know, they're going to be right behind the club and things like that, and they're going to be bought into it, and they're going to want to see a promotion, they're going to want to see us score loads of goals, they're going to want to see us win games. And I like to think that that's what's going to happen, and I like to see the ground situation resolved as well. So moving on from that, really, I think we've taken a few Twitter questions, and I've kind of highlighted two or three from Iron fans on Twitter. So thank you very much for anybody who's kind of submitted their questions to the Iron Brew page on Twitter. And we'll go from the top. We might have covered some of these slightly in what we've spoken about, but I think it's good to kind of address them head on, really. So from Smeeden35, we've got, what further changes will have to be made to make the club sustainable? And what is the break-even point required on attendances? And those two things, really. Guys, what do you think?
It's a difficult one. I don't want to lose many more staff because, you know, it's kind of working with skeleton staff down there, and I think they're all doing a great job to keep things ticking over. So, you know, I don't think that's an option. Obviously, the academy has been scaled back a little bit. We know that. We've not really had any... Have we had any official clarification on that? I know parents and things like that were talking about it, but I don't think we've had any clarification from the club. But obviously, that's happened, and some of the youth teams have been scrapped, which, you know, it's a difficult one because there's obviously been some miscommunication somewhere. I know Tony Dawes had put a plan together. Obviously, that plan is not achievable, and the club have had to make a decision, which I think the worst part about that is the fact that the kids probably got a little bit of hope when Hilton had said, you know, we're going to try and make it work, and we'll be going forward and trying to implement the plan that Tony had put together. So I think, you know, if I was a parent of one of those kids in the academy, I think I'd be pretty pissed off with that. But I understand, you know, if it's just not achievable and the numbers don't stack up, then unfortunately these kind of decisions have got to be made. But to be honest, what else could we cut back on? I think if you look at the staffing, you know, every department has kind of been cut back on. The academy's been cut back on. I think it's just a case of the fans have got to get through the turnstiles and support the club. And I think, as we've mentioned, if the results turn and we do start picking up the wins, I think they will come back. And I think ultimately, at the end of the day, it's one of those Hilton's already said he's not got massive amounts of money to plough in. The club, you know, the fans have got to get behind the club and support the club and get through the turnstiles. And I think, yeah, I think it will happen if we are at the right end of the division. But I think there's also, in the back of my mind, there's a potential that if things don't quite start the way we hoped, then it could get quite nasty and go completely the opposite direction, which obviously nobody wants. But yeah, in terms of sustainability, I think it does kind of come down to, well, there's a number of things that could implicate that, you know, big ones, the stadium, as we've already discussed. But yeah, I think it's just a case of fans are going to have to get behind the club and through the turnstiles as often as possible.
Yeah, I agree. There's not really much more that we can do in terms of cutbacks. Obviously, we've got a very small staff now at the club. You know, we've got a lot of players come in who you would think are on decent wages. So I think ultimately we just need the people to come through the doors, to come and support the team, to get the crowds up again. In terms of a break-even number for attendances, I think we averaged around, was it 3,500 last season? So you would estimate it needs to be probably slightly above that, which could be a tough ask in the sixth tier. But I think with the ground situation being resolved, with a few good results, with a feel-good factor in the back of the club, I think that definitely could be achievable. So I think, yeah, Hilton definitely is banking on the fans returning in their droves, if you will, and really backing the lads. So, yeah, in terms of cutbacks, it's very hard. You know, we've cut back most of the staff over the past few months, which I think maybe had to be done in Hilton's eyes. You know, we are obviously a six-tier team. We're not an EFL team any longer, so we can't afford to have all these non-playing staff on the books at one time. But yeah, I think the main thing is to just get the results first, and then other things sort of sort themselves out. And then with fans returning through the gates, then obviously more funds will be available, and then that makes things easier on paper, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's what we want to see. We want to see more people down at Glanford Park. We want to see a buzz. I remember the the Barnet game. You know, I think the fans were queuing into the car park because the turnstiles wouldn't turn in fast enough. So, you know, that's what we want to see every Saturday, every Tuesday night, whether we will or not, who knows. But if we do, it's something we haven't really seen consistently at Glanford Park for a long time. So hopefully that's what we'll get this season. Del McLean asks, what's happening with the land that the club purchased or acquired? And I think it's an interesting question, actually. And I think to an extent, that kind of announcement from the club that they bought two pieces of land towards the town centre in Scunthorpe has sort of by and large been forgotten recently in pre-season and because of all the signings. And but at the end of the day, the club stated that we were going to move into a new stadium within 2 years. And I think that announcement was, what, maybe 2-3 months ago, maybe a little bit more. So given that no real work has yet begun that we're aware of on either of those pieces of land, time is ticking away. So to both of you, what has happened there?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know the ins and outs on that piece of land. I did speak to Hilton a couple of weeks ago and he said that had been acquired, and that's kind of where it's at. I think obviously the plan's been drawn up behind the scenes. I know a couple of fans that have spoken to Hilton, I think they've put things on the Facebook group, you know, a couple of drawings and things like that that Hilton sent them. But yeah, in terms of updates from the club, I guess it's something we will need in the near future, I would imagine, given the fact that the timescales are, I mean, you could say tight, you could say completely unrealistic, given there's no kind of planning or anything like that gone in at the moment. And you look at other stadiums that have been built in the past few years, sort of past 10 years, they all take, you look at Chesterfield, I think that was 6 years, and they all take around that amount of time. You know, the planning, given where it's in the land that it's on, the planning could take a while. And I think, yeah, it's unrealistic to believe that we're going to be in there in 2 years or less than 2 years now. It's okay saying it, but you know, there's all the funding you'd have to sort out. It's not going to be a cheap project. You're probably looking at north of £20 million. And I think this is where people have got to be realistic. And the big danger I can see, if we do get kicked out of Glanford Park in the near future, is that, you know, it's going to take a while. If the new ground happens, it's going to be a few years down the line. In the meantime, what do? You know, it's very difficult to go somewhere else for, you know, a length of time. If it was for a 6 month period or something like that, or a season, for example, I think most people would kind of say, fair enough, you know, we've got to do it for the sake of the club and get down there and support the club. And you probably have that novelty aspect of going somewhere else, although it wouldn't be ideal for home games. I think, you know, for the first season, people would get behind it. But then you get, you know, I don't know, I just think it's a big, big ask to ask anyone to go somewhere else for more than a season. I can't see that really being sustainable long term. And I think that's, again, that's the big danger with it. If nothing happens with the new stadium, if no progress is made, and all of a sudden, you know, we're out and we've got to find somewhere else to play, that's all very well and good in the short term. As I say, we could manage it. But then, you know, what's the long term plan? What's the plan after the end of the season or whatever it may be? And that's the bit that's most concerning for me, I think. It's kind of been announced. there's been some work. Obviously, Hilton has done a bit of work on it. We know that. We've seen drawings. The council have confirmed. I think, Rob Waltham had said he'd had some discussions, or someone from the council had had some discussions, but as yet, they were still awaiting the planning. So, yeah, it's one to keep an eye on, but I think that has to move quickly. If it's going to happen, it has to move quickly. Otherwise, you know, it could be a long time down the road. And that's just a situation we have to avoid, really.
Yeah, I agree as well. The last, obviously, the grounds, the Swan promised, obviously had fans naturally optimistic, but that one obviously fell through, and fans, you know, have, I guess, careful optimism that that will happen again. But yeah, in regards to the deadline, the time frame, I should say, that Hilton said, the 2-year thing, just sounds absurd. You know, Rob Balfour did interview on Humberside a few months ago. He had literally no idea about it. He would say there's no permission being granted from planning. So how can you build a stadium in 2 years in a town centre, especially? You know, I guess you've got to be optimistic. You've got to say the right thing to the supporters. But, you know, saying that, I think anyone can look through that and just think that's completely unrealistic. So, yeah, in the meantime, you know, where do we go? Will this be a long-term thing? Hopefully not. You know, there's been occasions where clubs like Coventry played at Northampton for a bit. You know, that was less than ideal. You know, and a club like ours, with an ageing fan base as well, if we're playing at somewhere like Gainsborough with less seating availability, you know, where are they going to go? Crowds will be obviously a shadow of what they would be in Glanford Park. So, again, I just think we just need the clarity on it. You know, this can't afford to keep on rumbling on forever and ever, because fans will just get dejected naturally. And yeah, we just need to be playing in Scunthorpe, because obviously this club is the heart of the community. You know, there's not much going on in this area. And you know, the town the size of ours needs its football club to be staying in town. And, you know, I think if we were to be based elsewhere, you know, we could potentially lose, you know, a generation of fans. You know, we need to be sort of given answers sooner rather than later. And I think, you know, this whole, yeah, the 2-year plan, it's just nonsense to me. I just can't see it. But, you know, I'm just hoping that it's all sorted sooner rather than later and this thing can be forgotten about. Because, you know, it is upsetting when we've had all this nonsense the past few years. And we just want our club based in our town and winning games, ultimately. That's all it boils down to. So hopefully, you know, this can be forgotten about and we can hopefully move on from it.
Yeah, I think also it would be good to maybe get some clarity from the club on the proposed new stadium and kind of the progress that's been made there, even if it's just, you know, some funding that's been secured in principle, or some kind of further fleshing out of sort of the technical drawings for the site or anything like that would be good to have from the club. Because, as we said, we've kind of gone maybe quarter of a year since that announcement almost, I think, and really we're no closer to getting a spade in the ground with the time ticking. So, you know, I think it's important that the club gives us a little bit of clarity on that. I'm sure that they will, and hopefully they will in the coming weeks. And I'd just like to touch on a comment there, Toby, that you made, that potentially moving out of town to somewhere like Gainsborough or somewhere even as far flung as Ilkeston. As you said, you know, you are in risk of kind of alienating a whole generation of Scunthorpe United fans. So it's really important that we keep within the town, that we train within the town, that everything's kept within the community, and let's hope that that's the case. But again, this is very, very up in the air at the moment. And I think we've got one more question. Again, it's kind of on the ground again, but I think it kind of sort of sums up the kind of anxiety around the situation from an Iron fan who's not affiliated to the podcast in any way. So it's Andrew Williamson, and he said the ground issue, and does it need a mediator to try to sort out the current stalemate between Peter Swan and David Hilton? And he says that I feel that if it carries on, it could be life-threatening for Scunthorpe United. And I think those are kind of the sentiments that we've just echoed there, really, in some part. And I completely agree with that question or that statement, Andrew, that, you know, it is life-threatening to the club. It is life-threatening to the fan base. It's life-threatening to the revenue streams and the future and the kind of prosperity and the confidence that the club will continue to be a community asset. So I don't know if any of you guys have got anything else to elaborate on there based on that.
No, I think it's a good point. I think it's, yeah, it just underlines what we've been saying, really, for this podcast. I think in a couple of weeks we're going to find out one way or another what happens. I think there is obviously a chance that it will be adjourned, and then, you know, it could go on. And I think Hilton's hoping, he's said in the press, hasn't he, that he's hoping to take it sort of beyond Christmas and, you know, 6 to 8 months as a process, and hoping we can stay at Granford Park and essentially just kicking the can down the road, I think, with that. But it would give us the majority of this season at Granford Park, which I think, you know, that's what he's hoping for, and he can get the fans through the gate. Football should be quite good, and he's probably seeing that as the best solution at the moment. But I think long term, it's a good point about a mediator. I just, at the moment, with how it's gone and with how Hilton sort of refused to pay for certain things, you know, he said Swan's not done certain things. Swan said, you know, that doesn't really matter. He's agreed to pay this. It's not gone through. At the end of the day, I think given it's gone down sort of essentially the squatting route, and we've not got a lease, but we're still at Granford Park at the moment, I just think the relationship between the two has been soured that much. I just can't see them coming back to the table to negotiate anything. And that's the worrying thing for me, that if they can't do that, and at the end of the day, I don't know why they would. I mean, if Hilton's hoping to build a new stadium somewhere else, why would he pay Swan the money for Granford Park? And why would Swan, if he believes Hilton hasn't got the money, which he said last week in his piece, in his statement that he put out, or whenever it was, a couple of weeks ago, that he hasn't got the money, then why would he even try and negotiate to try and get the deal over the line if he was of the opinion that he couldn't afford it and he doesn't have the funds to do so? So I think that's where we are. We're kind of at a stalemate with it. Obviously, more will become clear after the court date. And I think at the moment, with the facts we've got, probably the best thing that we could hope for is that it is adjourned and we do get that kind of day of execution, if you like, that we can maybe have a bit more time for them to try and get around the table and come to some arrangement. Because at the end of the day, Hilton said he's still happy to pay the $3 million for it if Swan does the few bits that he mentioned. So, you know, I think it's going to be a very interesting few weeks, and hopefully there is a positive resolution at the end of it. But I'm just struggling at the moment to see one. And I think, as I said, the best we could hope for is to stay in as long as possible while this kind of plays out in the background. But again, I mean, that's not the best situation or the ideal situation for the club to be playing on and having all this rumbling on in the background. It is a bit of a distraction. And although the players would probably say, you know, they're not too bothered, I'm sure, you know, it is creeping into their minds a little bit that it could be a bit of a distraction if they have to play somewhere else, or, you know, if this is going to impact the long-term future of the club. So, yeah, it's one of those. I know the players will probably be professional and just get on with a job. But yeah, it's not an ideal situation to have this playing out in the background. And yeah, hopefully we can get resolution, but I'm not convinced at the moment.
You just need this to be resolved, really. You know, it's been going on for too long now. I'm just sort of sick of hearing contrasting stories from different people and no official confirmation anywhere to be seen. So yeah, we sort of need to wait for this court date and then see what happens from there, rather than I suppose getting like too bogged down right now, because we can't really do anything ourselves, obviously. So we've just got to hope that the relevant parties can come to an agreement and secure the club's future, really.
Yeah, agreed on everything there, and thank you to everybody who sent a question in on Twitter. There'll obviously be another opportunity to do that after the Tamworth game. I'm sure we'll be recording at the weekend after the result and to see how we get on there. So that will be more than interesting to kind of make a debut at this level. But yeah, I think that we've probably come to the end of this episode, really, the sort of opening episode of season 5 of the Iron Brew podcast. If you don't know who we are the Premier Scunthorpe United podcast. We have been for 5 years. We probably will be for another 5 years in the future. So thank you for listening. It's good to see you all. If you haven't yet, please do check out my season preview on the Iron Brew website, which is iron-brew.co.uk, and it's called The Fair Light of Redemption Calls. So please do check that out and let me know what you think. And again, let us know what you think of the podcast, any further questions, anything you want to engage on. We are very active on Twitter, so feel free to do that. But first and foremost, you know, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you again at the weekend.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.